When a windstorm strikes, the insurance companies call it an act of God. Is that merely a figure of speech? After all, God is love. Therefore, God would not kill and injure people with hurricanes and tornadoes. Yet, despite this seeming contradiction in our view of God's nature, we are now experiencing a remarkable increase in the frequency and the severity of windstorms of all kinds. Along with this increase in windstorms, we are seeing an increase in the frequency and severity of rainstorms and floods. To understand what is causing this wild, violent weather, we first have to understand the jet stream, which is the flow of air that constantly circles around the globe. The jet stream is a continuous loop of air swirling eastward, horizontally cycling the globe. Lately, there has emerged a mysterious force swooping down from the northern hemisphere, periodically yanking the jet stream off of its smooth easterly course and causing the jet stream to repeatedly drop troughs of Canadian air masses southward across the northern hemisphere. On the map, the outline of these multiple troughs is shaped like the letter W across the United States. Frigid northern air is rapidly pulled southward to collide sharply and explosively into existing warm air masses. Within the vertex of two U-shaped troughs, warm air is sucked up from the south. It's like pouring cold water into a hot frying pan. The result is all sorts of bizarre and violent weather reactions. Lightning storms, torrential rainstorms with consequent flooding, windstorms, tornadoes, and hurricanes, temperatures swinging wildly from warm to cold and cold to warm in one day or less. What is the genesis of this mysterious force pushing down from the northern hemisphere, causing the jet stream to ripple south and north like the cracking of a bullwhip? Each week on this program, Planet X in Bible Prophecy, we will explore beyond the Earth's stratosphere to discover the cause of these perilous weather phenomena and the earth-shaking geological phenomena that accompanies these windstorms, lightning storms, rainstorms, and yo-yo-like temperature swings.
Places in Texas here have had hail up to golf ball size. We've had 70 mile per hour winds, storms coming across Abilene. Some of these places with 3 to 4 inches of rain also have flooding. Biggest storm here, you see it arcing out like a bow. That's up in Young County. We've had 70 mile per hour winds with this storm, golf ball size hail. Nolan County down to the west of Abilene on another end of the storm. And then a very large cluster of storms just to the south and east of Wichita, Kansas. The second time this area has been hit today, 70 mile per hour winds, golf ball size hail, Chautauqua and Montgomery counties. And many thunderstorms across southwest Missouri, flooding a big problem there. The snow in Colorado.
And it is late April. Snow producer back in the mountains, some very heavy snow. Kuchara, 38 inches. Denver, about 4 to 8. And it is late April. It's a crazy spring so far in the upper Midwest. So what do April snow showers bring? And we're on a wild weather ride in Denver. From snow a few days ago, up to sunny in 70s today, and another big dip on the way this week. But the weather won't slow down golf season in upstate New York. They're getting the course ready despite the cold and sleet.
Well, we are still feeling the heat in Southern California.
We broke the record high in L.A. today. That was well before noon as well. Oh, yeah, little ones, the water is a must. The temperature finally reached 102 degrees for the high.
When somebody goes into an ecstasy, it's nearly like they're being drawn into another dimension, drawn out of our reality. Indeed, they'll tell you afterwards that everything disappeared around them. Maybe they'll see what seem like nearly clouds, but aren't really clouds, some other reality or dimension. And it's in that reality that they see the supernatural figure. And when they're in such a state, often, you can go up and you can flash a light in their eyes, you can pinch their cheeks, you can even put a needle into them, and they're not going to blink, they're not going to budge, because they are in an altered state of consciousness, a tremendously altered state of consciousness. But their eyes are open, and what they are seeing seems as real to them as anything that we see in a normal course of consciousness.
But the seven children had a terrible message to deliver. A prophecy so horrifying that they wept as they revealed what they had seen.
They were given a prophecy of the future, horrible pictures of coming turmoil and anarchy, blood. They were shown so many bodies, it seemed like there was no place to put them all. They were told that if mankind did not convert, that there would be apocalyptical events in the future.
What evolved out of that was the I'm America map, which is a very highly detailed prophecy of Earth changes of the United States.
The prophecies were so alarming that Lori Toy began documenting each one so that people could be warned.
They said the first thing that we would see would be a meteor that would be coming towards this planet, and that would hit somewhere in the Nevada desert. They said the next thing that would happen after that would be 2 to 4 years of rain. They said that that would cause an overall global warming. Also, we'll suffer another devastating earthquake in the Pacific Northwest, which will sink Oregon and Washington State. Wind and rain and extremely cold temperatures will pelt the East Coast and break up the East Coast into islands. The lower tip of Florida would be flooded or sink. The Mississippi and the Missouri rivers would more than quadruple their present size. Many lakes and rivers would just burst. The Sierra Madres are what are left of California, Nevada, Utah, and the northeastern portion of Arizona. Also, New York City, covered by water. Even Philadelphia is shown to be underwater. It was a very extreme prophecy. Very extreme prophecy.
Intrigued by this information, Lori Toy and her friend felt compelled to delve deeper.
Coastline extending from West Houston, north past Dallas. Let me see what you have.
We've got water extending from the Gulf up, I'm guessing 50 to 100 miles, up past Houston here, north to Dallas.
On their map, they had an indentation right about here, like an inlet of some kind.
You want to go back and see if they have more?
Sure. In the map room, they are with me. From Texarkana over to Mississippi, then down almost to New Orleans.
What about Nevada, Utah? Can we work on these?
Yes, they say. They are showing me. It is all underwater, almost to Denver.
Do you see any islands?
Yes. Salt Lake City.
I sold my house and took the money from that to print the first I'm America map. We printed 1,000 copies. I, of course, got my children to come in there and help Mom roll maps. It was always our after-school project because we had a lot of people that we had to warn. And we started giving maps away to hundreds of people and talking about what these prophecies were.
But the odyssey did not end there for Laurie Toy. The map captured the attention of a man who was also having visions of Earth changes. A man who became Laurie's second husband. A man named Len Toy, a prophet in his own right, who shared the same startling visions.
One day I said, "Will you write down what you've seen, and then I will go in into the meditative state and I will write down what I see." And we did that, and we were amazed because both maps looked almost entirely alike.
There's great ice storms that form over the European continent and crash to the cities and bury them under 20 to 100 feet thick and as much as 200 to 300 miles long. All of these areas are then completely devastated. Because of the global warming that is so greatly affecting Western Europe, the European community joins together to detonate a nuclear explosion in the Mediterranean Ocean along a fault line to alleviate the water pressure that is rising. And the area of North Africa into the Middle East is lost in this nuclear detonation. The European prophecies happen well after the prophecies that happen in the Americas.
Seeing the future, knowing what lies ahead, can be a blessing as well as a burden.
Many people who call us, they always say, "Well, what do I do?" A lot of people call in deep stress, in deep fear. They have children, they have homes, they want to have a future.
Laurie and Len Toy are not the only ones who claim to be haunted with visions of global annihilation. Sue Spittler, during an innocent foray into the world of meditation, came face to face with what she believes was doomsday. She said the visions invaded like unwanted messengers. Home economist Sue Spittler.
When I was doing the meditation on the universe, I really saw a great depopulation of the world happening in very traumatic, fast ways, such as earthquakes, large plane crashes, tornadoes, hurricanes, situations where large numbers of people would be eliminated. This is somewhat like a pruning, and I can sense this pruning to happen pretty steadily over the next maybe 200 years. I have a sense as the world depopulation occurs that there are going to be other great physical changes in the Earth too. I have a feeling that in the future we're going to have much, much more water, much, much less land, and my sense of that is that we would have maybe one-third, possibly as much as one-half land mass compared to what we have now. I can sense that the Pacific Ocean might come in as far as, say, Nevada. The Mississippi will be much bigger than it is now. I think any of the major rivers are going to be incredibly increased in size. I meditated several other times on the subject of the universe, and the information that I received just kept building on top of the information that I sensed earlier. You finally have to come to a point that you say, it's true, it's real, it happens, I believe it.
Fragments, glimpses of a dire future appear to be flooding in from varied sources, from medieval monks to modern housewives. And like some nightmare puzzle, the pieces seem to be falling into place. Reportedly, warnings of imminent global disaster are being received worldwide.
But you have looked at Bible prophecy, too, in reference to it, Planet X, have you not?
Yes, I have.
Mark, what is the focus of your book? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about why you wrote the book and what it's focusing on?
Well, Planet X, meaning Roman numeral number 10. So it's simply the 10th planet in our solar system, and it's very significant for this time because it's due to come around again in springtime of 2003. And it's been around our solar system for eons, millions of years, and each time it comes around, it disrupts the surfaces of the planet that it passes through this part of the solar system. Earth is not being singled out. The focus of my book is just to show that the planet X, our 10th planet, is absolutely real. It's inbound currently, and it is going to cause calamities like it has every time it passes this part of its orbit.
This is not then something that is just fictional. I mean, this planet has been identified, as far as you know. It has been located. It has been seen, or it does have some kind of a track record.
Well, first of all, yeah, it has been located with modern astronomical equipment from several different sources, observatories as of late. Unbeknownst to me, when I first started digging into this information, it has a long history. In fact, I've uncovered 50 different names for this planet X from ancient cultures, a wide variety of ancient cultures. Now, I have 34 in my book, but since I've written my book, it seems to become a center for information, and there's been several more bits and pieces of the puzzle that have been given to me. That it's just a constant flow of information from different sources about this planet. You can look into the science of archaeology. Ecologists have discovered that the last time that it passed, it certainly wrecked havoc and left a big footprint on Earth, and the previous time before that, and so on and so forth. I mean, I have 18 pages of these studies that go back maybe as far as six different orbits, so going way back. Certainly, NASA is fully aware of this, and the majority of the secretive governments have been getting ready for 2003. Some people know it has to do with Planet X passing. Some people don't, for quite some time. So the scientific community in general are in the dark, but you can piece the pieces together yourself if you're given a mosaic, which is basically what I do in my text. I give all the best information, and I allow the reader to search elsewhere. I point in 50 different directions for more data, either the ancient text or the harder science or the astronomy. I give an indication of where you can go to even find insider sources for this information. I get it all the time because of having written this book, but it's not a difficult job to find evidence of this and develop your own hard sources for this being in existence. But by this summer or fall, there should be quite a few amateur astronomer groups that should be spotting this. As of late, starting in 2001, the beginning, a lot of observatories have started getting reports of this, but no one seems to want to go on record at this point because of what it means and because they've been told to stay quiet. But that's going to change very shortly here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking about the people in NOAA seemingly staying quiet about it. Is there a reason why? What is supposed to happen when Planet X passes by Earth? I mean,
I've got indications from a NASA source that says they absolutely know about Planet X, that it's going to pass, you know, late May or early June 2003. And what they are speculating is, and you got to go along with what they're speculating, is that it's going to pass around 12 to 18 million miles away from Earth, and that would be what they would call the worst case scenario. In other words, if it passed closer, it would be better because our mainly liquid iron ore molten core would align to it along with our crust, and although it would cause calamities, it wouldn't cause a pole shift. But if it's a little farther out, which is the range of where it's supposed to pass this time, the molten core, of course, would align to it, but not the crust. The crust would resist, and this would result in what is known as a crustal displacement. The crust would slip over the core, and your north and south pole would end up in different places. And, of course, those new poles, everyone there would freeze instantly. And the worst part of the situation would be the water coming over the shoreline. That is why I'm leaving Florida shortly, because all of Florida should be inundated.
You know, I don't know how much you've looked into Bible prophecy, but one of the things that caught our attention was you're talking about the pole shift, because the Bible does talk about the earth actually being turned upside down in some places. And when you're talking about the water, 30 or 40 years ago, I remember a preacher prophesying that Florida literally would be wiped out by a tidal wave, which is water. So can you explain what you mean by a pole shift? Has this happened before?
Well, like I said, it doesn't happen every time. It would be the worst-case scenario for a passing. That's what's expected this time. But I would suspect, based on the study I've done of ancient texts and archaeology, 3 or 4 times ago, that would be some of, let's say, 11,000 years ago, there was a worldwide civilization. It was very sophisticated, not like ours. It was kind of a megalith kind of civilization. Pardon me?
How do you come up with the 11,000 years ago?
Well, that would be from archaeological records of the time and ancient history that talk about a civilization that some people have referred to as Atlantis. But this wasn't just one continent. It was actually, from what I understand, a worldwide civilization. And there's some 500 different ruins off the coast of every major continent that has been discovered as of late that point towards this civilization being a worldwide civilization that went underneath the sea as a result of a worst-case scenario, a pole shift, planet X passing just so many million miles away, such that, like I said, the iron ore core would align, but not the crust, so that the crust would resist and slip over the core. That happens. That scenario would take place in just under an hour during the passage.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like I said, NASA would speculate that 2/3 of the population will perish, mainly because of water coming over the shorelines, because the crust would resist and slip over the core. That happens. That scenario would take place in just under an hour during the passage.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like I said, NASA would speculate that 2/3 of the population will perish, mainly because of water coming over the shorelines, because 90% of the population is near the shorelines worldwide.
Is that a fact? I mean, NASA actually believes that 2/3 of the population of the world is going to be destroyed if...
That is what they speculate on. That is not a fact. The fact is they know Planet X is coming. They're very worried. They know when it will pass within a few week period. And I would go along with their speculation as far as 2/3 of the population passing during that 1 hour of the polar shift. And then, of course, they expect another 2/3 of what's left to perish within 6 months because of starvation, exposure to the elements. But, if you can be optimistic about being one of those 10%, there should be, some 600 million people left and certainly enough people to, make friends and have a life and, build a new civilization, hopefully a better culture on top of the ruins of this one.
I don't want to be obnoxious, but you're not a Christian, are you?
No, I don't go along with any specific religion. I consider myself a spiritual person, and that's all I really care to say on that.
So what do you believe about the scriptures? I mean, the scriptures, some of the things it's talking about Planet X are very vividly described in scriptures.
I think that some of what they say about Planet X and what they expect is very true within biblical text.
Yes.
I think it parallels some thousands of other prophecies out there and intuitives. Now, I've studied well over 100 of these intuitive or prophecies about this event, and I quit right around that time and thought, geez, it seems that they all parallel each other, and certainly the biblical prophecies also go right along with it. And I decided to find the specific reason for an event like this.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, you know, much talk in some of these intuitive sources for a rogue planet, a comet, a failed star, a brown dwarf, if you will. And if you look closely into that, there is so much information for the existence of this planet. In fact, just the approach of this planet starts to affect the planets in our solar system. Once it gets toward the direction of our solar system, all the planets are being affected currently and have been for mainly the last 6 years, but several decades back. In fact, the increase in volcanism and the seismic activity has gone up from 400 to 500%. From the mid-70s to the mid-90s, and that's not counting the greatest increase, which is the last 2 years. And it's all the result of the approach of this planet, and certainly all the weather changes that the powers that be want to think has to do with our pollution or our civilization, what they call global warming. It has nothing to do with that. Every planet in our solar system is being affected by the approach of this planet. Mars is got a dust storm that's unprecedented, and the atmosphere has thickened by some 100%. The poles are melting there. Venus and Saturn are brighter than they ever have been. There's a atmosphere on Moon that's some 6,000 feet that's never been there before. They're naming it Natrium or Natrium. The outer larger planets are being perturbed by the approach of this planet, and in fact, there's been a pole shift, a magnetic pole shift of 40 or 50% on Uranus and Neptune. And Saturn is even physically tilted like it never has been before. So there's luminosity changes that are going on, magnetic changes, and actual physical changes that are happening on all the planets of our solar system. Earth is not being singled out. And when this passes, there should be, it should, like it usually does, wreck havoc, and then be on its way. The orbit is elliptical. Most people aren't aware that there is a second sun in our solar system. It is binary, like most solar systems out there. This dark twin sun lies towards the constellation of Orion, is about 500 to 700 astronomical units out. This dark twin sun lies towards the constellation of Orion, is about 500 to 700 astronomical units out. And this rogue planet, this failed star, is 4 to 5 times as large as Earth, is simply caught between these two suns. In other words, it orbits in a pendulum-type fashion back and forth, and that's why it takes some 3,600 to 60 years. Most of the ancient texts identify that number as 3,600, but it's actually closer to 3,660.
Well, one of the reasons why I ask you to come on, because like I say, much of the information that's in the book is talking about these events. We believe that the Bible talks about it. For instance, the Bible says there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. It says upon the earth there'll be distress of nations. It says the waves and the seas will be roaring. It says men's hearts will fail them for fear as they look at those things that are coming upon the face of the earth. Well, this is one of those events that seems to fit that biblical description. Just talking about it can put fearfulness in people's heart, because which way are you going to go? And then the Bible also talks about up to 2/3 of the population of the world being destroyed by volcanic eruptions and by natural things that are beyond natural, so to speak. So that's one of the reasons why we talk about this. Has this planet been sighted? Have they seen the planet?
The United States government, NASA, sent up a infrared astronomical satellite in the early 80s, knowing that this planet was there because of the long history of the outer planets being perturbed. And in fact, they sent up this satellite towards the direction of Orion constellation and found Planet X. They triangulated the sighting, and then the chief scientist on December 30th, 1983, announced this to Six Dailies. It made the front page of the Washington Post on, like I said, December 30th, 1983, that they had found it. And then these, what I call them, controllers that control the major media and NASA and the economies of the world decided that this information wasn't what they wanted out there for people to think about because of the rich history and the archaeology. They may just put it together, and this would, of course, change the society. We know it probably collapsed the economy of the world, because who would want to invest in stocks if they knew that when this planet passes, it was going to basically take this civilization out. So they decided to hide it, but that record stands. They found it back then, and then I suppose they did a fairly good job of keeping it under wraps until the beginning of 2001, when normal observatories could begin to spot it.
A pole shift is a phenomenon wherein the planet tilts on its axis. It's like a spinning top that falls onto its side. Basically, these pole shifts are accompanied by violent tectonic activity. Now, that's the Earth platelets that override one another, that creates earthquakes. They create volcanic eruptions, windstorms, global fires, floods, and great hurricanes. Has our weather been changing in the last 15 to 20 years? Has it been man-made only because they've discovered the use of extremely low-frequency magnetic waves? Or could it be that this object is coming? It's heading in our direction. And the Earth is warming up. And that the Earth is now having violent weather because of this.
There is something anomalous going on around us. Now, interesting that we're saying that, and tonight we're going to have Jason Martell on as our guest, and we're going to be talking about Planet X, Nibiru, and the possibility, more than just the possibility that this 10th planet is in our solar system. I think that we have reached kind of a conclusion that it's there, but we don't know when it's going to come back.
Yeah, you know, I'm always so guarded in all of my statements. I guess my research leads me to believe that we certainly ought to be looking for this thing and not dismissing it.
Now, Clifford and I were talking not only over the weekend but earlier tonight, and I think, and I don't want to talk for him, but I think we both feel that there is enough historical evidence that there is something in our solar system that comes back cyclically about every 3,600 years. I mean, is that a fair estimation?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Clear. Right. Yeah, and really, I'll qualify my statement this way. On an intuitive fashion, just let's say combining all information without trying to separate facts, I would say, yeah, on an intuitive level, I don't have any, there's got to be something there. Though, just on a general level, the business of civilization emerging spontaneously from Sumeria 4,000 years ago, you've got some real problems just in terms of progressions and evolution. There's discontinuities that are unexplainable. In terms of the hard scientific factual data, my statement was there's enough evidence where we ought to be looking is what it amounts to. There's a whole body of information that says we ought to be looking. If the if the head of the United States Naval Observatory spent a good part of his career organizing his projects, I think you better be looking.
You're talking about Dr. Harrington.
That's
Harrington,
correct.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't just pass that off. This is a government tax-funded organization that's spending our money.
Naval Observatory.
Right?
Yeah, right. Now, what wasn't Harrington the one that said, you know, they're so sure of it, the only thing they have to do is name it?
That's correct.
Yeah. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. Mm-hmm. And here is the man who, as you both just said, he was head of the U.S. Naval Observatory.
And also, let's also put this into perspective. The only interview that I know of on record, and I'm still doing some very, very deep searching, and boy, there aren't any references to Dr. Harrington Nass anymore. It's really interesting.
Oh, I know.
But that's the only record tape I have of that anyone actually has publicly for anyone from NASA period, let alone Dr. Harrington, speaking about not only his research of Planet X, but for the first time, publicly collaborating it with Zacharias Sitchin in an interview, very openly.
Well, Clifford has two things that Harrington wrote.
Yeah, I found four references now to Harrington.
Mm-hmm.
Two were his abstracts that showed his papers.
Yep.
Another is the interview. And the other, and this is also a part of the picture, is to look for what you say, disinformation or things that don't fit. And one of the things that has just really caught my attention is the Naval Observatory, and I mentioned this last time, publishing his obituary. And there's this curious statement in there saying that Robert Harrington, he had this interest in this external planet during his career, but, you know, in his last years, he just didn't have much of an interest in it. He just didn't care much about it, is what they're saying.
And that's gross misinformation.
Yeah, the fact is it doesn't fit. I know it doesn't fit from reading his papers dated 1988,
yeah.
You know, 2 years before he dies. And then in a subsequent follow-up paper where the last, you know, the last sentence was that the images are on their way back from the south for blinking.
Yeah, and they never showed up.
This is right. And then, so I'm saying you have such a strong contradiction there, it has to raise a big flag.
There are a lot of probes that we send to Mars or to the outer planets to do imaging, which could also have black ops projects attached to them that the public isn't going to know about. So if we send an orbiter to Mars to do a main mapping mission, it might have other black ops projects attached to that satellite collecting its own data that we're just not going to know about. And if they need to take into a full account the main mapping mission or, you know, take over that project for their own purposes, that satellite is gone. It becomes a black project. And people aren't aware of those facts.
There's a lot of intense effort going on around the world looking at 360 degrees of sky for that next big comet coming our way.
Modern astronomers have been looking for 10th planets and additional planets and moons, and of course they have been finding some. We have some unusual objects right now at the outskirts of our solar system which are not identified. They're still classified as unusual objects. So this search has existed. We don't have any confirmed sightings at this point. At least we're not being told by the people who operate the large telescopes that there is a confirmed sighting. However, many people have suspicions that they have been seen but not reported, exactly like Hale-Bopp, the comet Hale-Bopp, which was seen years before the so-called discovery by Mr. Hale and Mr. Bopp.
Observations are being made, and with little notice to the public. This article from CNN tells of a potential killer comet detected with only weeks of warning. In recent times, new planets and outer solar bodies are being discovered and observed. With so much sky to observe, it's no wonder we have so many last-minute reports of potential near misses. Or could there be more that is being downplayed in the media or withheld altogether?
It is a doomsday that is foretold in the Mayan calendar, the Chinese oracle of the I Ching. Even an internet-based prophetic software program. 2012. A date that is prophesied as the end of the world. But is there any science behind this dire prediction? Could ancient oracles truly predict the future? The answer could affect us all, because history shows a surprisingly good track record for those who say doomsday is almost here. There are wars and rumors of war, signs and warnings. There are disasters, destruction. There are those who say that these are dark times and that these destructive events are not just random.
So if you turn on Fox or CNN News, you're constantly seeing possibilities of terrorism, nuclear attack, plagues of new diseases. We seem to be going through sort of apocalyptic process.
These days were prophesied long ago, in the pages of the Bible, the temples of ancient Rome, the pyramids of the ancient Maya, even the World Wide Web.
We have a number of prophecies that all seem to imply that something is going to happen in the 21st century.
It ties into a number of prophecies made in the Old Testament. These warnings of coming judgment, of a coming doomsday because people are not following the rules of the law.
More than one oracle in history points to a single date, a disastrous convergence not far in the future.
The Mayans talked about December 21st, 2012 as being the end of this cycle.
The ancient Mayans of Central America created a calendar so precise that it could predict lunar eclipses literally thousands of years in the future. Yet the Mayan calendar mysteriously ends on one date, the winter solstice in the year 2012.
Is the world going to end in 2012, or is there going to be some kind of major shift in the cycles of history? That remains an open question.
And the newest version of the 2012 Doomsday Prophecy comes from an oracle that isn't even human. Its inventors call it the WebBot Project. It began in the late 1990s as a program to predict possible stock futures.
Anytime anybody makes an investment, they're at the same time making a prediction about the future.
Business consultant George Yore worked with partners and developed a program that uses independent mini-programs called spiders, or agents, to comb the internet for hints of future financial news. The concept behind the web bots is that massive scans of language will reveal a direct connection to the collective unconscious and a hint of the future.
It's almost a window into the universal subconscious mind.
However it works, the WebBot's track record is impressive.
August 2004, we made a prediction about earthquakes. We predicted 300,000 dead, the water rising, which turned out to be the tsunami in December of 2004.
The WebBots also foretold the anthrax attacks in Washington, D.C. in 2001, the massive East Coast power outage of 2003, the destruction of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. But it's the WebBots' prophecies for the future that are most disturbing.
If the WebBots are correct, we should see a series of escalations leading to, I don't like to say it, but something like limited nuclear war in 2008-2009 kind of time frame.
According to the WebBots, a series of catastrophes reaches its peak in the year 2012.
I honestly don't know what's going to happen in 2012. This technology may start meshing with a lot of the other predictive things out there, like Mayan calendar.
Is it true prophecy, or just a lot of random noise? For answers, one must return to the very beginnings of Western civilization. Among the Sibyl's prophecies was a distant apocalypse. She predicted the world would last for 9 periods of 800 years each. The 10th generation would begin approximately 2000 AD. And it would be the last.
These things in the 10th generation shall come to pass. The earth shall be shaken by a great earthquake that throws many cities into the sea. There shall be war. Fire shall come flashing forth from the heavens and many cities burn. Black ashes shall fill the great sky. Then know the anger of the gods. The Sibylline Oracles, Book 4.
We're feeling this time coming on. We're reading the reports about, you know, the glaciers melting. We're experiencing things like the tsunamis, climate changes, upheavals in land, cataclysms.
But the Sibyl's prophecies wouldn't mean much if she didn't have such a good track record. In the 6th century BC, the Sibyl predicted the invasion of Italy by Hannibal 700 years before it happened. And she predicted his ultimate defeat. She predicted the rise of the Emperor Constantine, by name, 800 years before he was born. But her greatest prophecy gave her a place of honor among early Christians.
In Virgil's 4th Eclogue, he has the Sibyl give a prophecy of a new age coming, a new golden age, and a child who would be born who would initiate this golden age. This was written, I believe, say around 20 BC. Later on, Christians took this as a prophecy of Christ.
The Sibyl's prophecy of the coming of Jesus, 20 years before his birth, caused her to be revered by early Christians. And even Michelangelo gave her a prominent place in the Sistine Chapel. No one knows how the Sibyl saw into the future.
Sometimes with prophetic warnings.
At the beginning of each year, she will tell me more or less what will occur during that year. She told me that something severe was about to happen that would affect the United States. She had told us about catastrophes about to start. And it was that year that we had very severe weather. We began to feel the earthquakes in California. And then the beginning of this year, she said that these catastrophes would accelerate. Your country is headed for destruction. This world is headed for destruction. the earth itself is telling us that there have to be changes in us. This is going on right now. We can't hide from it anymore. We can't say, well, maybe, because God is really letting us know, hey, I'm calling you. Are you going to listen or what?
Those warnings through Barbara that the time to change is now, because it might be too late.
Chapter 3. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what is right, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted in the cause of right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people abuse you and persecute you and speak all kinds of calumny against you for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven, as it was for the prophets persecuted before you. In your prayers, remember your Father knows what your needs are before you ask him. This is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
I'm John DiNardo for Planet X in Bible Prophecy. Your help is needed to warn of disastrous windstorms and floods, catastrophic earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, which God is bringing upon the world in order to shock people to open their hearts to God, our Savior, Yahshua Jesus. Please write to me at Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, T-O-W-A-C-O, New Jersey, 07082. I would be happy to hear from you. Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, T as in Tom, O-W-A-C-O, New Jersey, 07082.